Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 462 here in summery Chicago. Well, it's cooled off a little bit, but wow, we just had, I don't know, like a stretch of a week and a half where it was crazy. I mean, everything is so green. Everything is blooming. We've talked about the allergies here. If you have them badly, they have probably gone out of control and already gone away because we have everything blooming, tulips up, trees are getting green. Starting to get green leaves. They'll be last, but bulbs are up, plants are flowering, bushes are flowering, bunnies and squirrels are going crazy, and spring is here. Spring is here officially this past week, and boy, it felt like summer. It did not even feel like spring. And now it's cooled off a little bit, and who knows what this week is going to bring to us. But man, I have to say, if you're listening and you live in Chicago, you know what I'm talking about. Like, everybody's been just a little bit happier, even though they've probably had some allergies. Had some people that have had some throat things, but and even though it's cooler, and we've definitely had some cooler weather. That was just a little lift. It was like a summer vacation right in the middle. At the end of winter, and just walking on the street, just shaking our heads, right, at everybody we saw, just saying, wow, can you believe this is March in Chicago? And because it's March in Chicago, there are so many exciting things going on. I'm really excited about a lot of the theater that's happening. Now, if you have not seen the show that I'm in, shameless plug, Enron is running through April 15th only. We've been running for a while, so if you've been waiting to come and see the show, and I think it's a fantastic show. I've had theater people and non-theater people who understand what happened at Enron and people who have not a clue, but know it was bad, and know lots of people lost lots of money. And across the board, people are really liking this play. They get angry. They laugh. It's very intimate. I am spray tanned within an inch of my life, so you can see me looking tan and very blonde and very 90s. I'm very Texan. So come and see it if you get a chance. Timeline Theater running through April 15th. Love to have you come to the show. There's some other great shows. You know, the story of Lunt and Fontan is happening up at Northlight. Angels in America is starting, which is going to be this epic event. 7 hours of theater that you can see all in one day if you like. Angels in America starting very soon, within days. Right at the end of this month, running April, May, and June down at the Court Theater. And there's the exciting redux of the Judy at Carnegie with a bunch of amazing cabaret singers going to be performing in that. So it's really a great time for theater in Chicago, a great time to visit Chicago, have friends come into town. I have family in town to see my play, which is super, super fun. You know, eat some good food, go see some great theater, and you know, we're all coming out of our little caves and cocoons, because we can breathe again because of the sunshine. And we have not dealt with a bad winter whatsoever. Very sad news. Rosie O'Donnell, I guess she is leaving our fair city, and more news on that in entertainment and some movies upcoming to look forward to and some other entertainment news. But today on our show, she is a friend. She has been on Lesbi Gay Radio, Windy City Radio, the Windy City Queercast many, many times. And she's coming back to town. I'm talking about none other than Paula Poundstone, who's coming to the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie for a performance one night only Friday, March 30th, this Friday in Skokie. There's tickets you can get at NorthShoreCenter.org. You know, Paula was early on the scene, maybe not out lesbian comedian, but she wasn't very in, but she is a lesbian comedian from the glory days in the late 80s when she won Best Female Comic in the American Comedy Award. Many people know her now on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And she's so fantastic on that. And our very own Jerry Nunn sat down and talked with her this time around. She was just on our Queercast about a year and a half ago or a little more when she was coming through town. And it's exciting that she's back. And if you've not seen Paula, my gosh, go do yourself a favor on Friday night and go see her at the North Shore Center in Skokie. So Jerry Nunn with Paula and more after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. A jury in New Jersey has found Rutgers student Darun Ravi guilty of a hate crime against his gay roommate Tyler Clementi for using a webcam to spy on Clementi's intimate encounters with another man. The jury also found Ravi guilty of a number of other charges, including invasion of privacy and witness tampering. The jury found Ravi not guilty in relation to the charges as they affected Clementi's male date, identified in court as only MB. Ravi faces up to 10 years in prison for the convictions. The guilty charges could also result in Ravi, who is on a student visa to study here, being deported.
President Obama has expressed his disapproval of North Carolina's Amendment 1, a proposed ban of same-sex marriage and civil unions. The amendment is on the state's May 8 ballot.
A Delaware Superior Court in Wilmington issued a stipulated order that respects the private communications of a Delaware same-sex couple married in California prior to the effective date of Delaware's civil union law. The issue arose when half of the couple sued his former employee, claiming sexual orientation-based discrimination.
In San Francisco, criminals are targeting middle-aged gay men in the Castro District. Sergeant Chuck Limbert, the LGBT liaison to the Mission Police Station, said the crooks apparently flirt with their victims, slip drugs into their drinks. And when the victims become dizzy, the criminals take them home and rob them. However, police believe that gay men of all ages are victims.
United States Representative Suzanne Bonamici, the Democrat from Oregon, Hanson Clark, a Democrat from Michigan, and Steve Cohen, Democrat from Tennessee, became the latest members of Congress to join the growing number of supporters of the Respect for Marriage Act, which would repeal the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. They signed on just days before the one-year anniversary of the Respect for Marriage Act's introduction, bringing the total number of co-sponsors in the House and Senate, respectively, to 140 and 31.
Black Men's Exchange, BMX National, a group for same gender-loving and bisexual black men, has established a new chapter at Howard University in Washington, D.C.
In Nebraska, Omaha's city council narrowly approved anti-bias protections for LGBT residents. The council voted 4-3 to add gender identity and sexual orientation to the city's law that already prohibits discrimination based on religion, marital status, and race. Conservatives may challenge the ordinance.
In Paradise Valley, Arizona, the school district governing board unanimously voted to fire lesbian high school principal Cynthia Davis because of her sexual orientation. In a letter to her staff on March 5th, Davis said she was being let go because the administration had issues with her leadership ability and style. One board member allegedly had concerns about Davis's lifestyle.
Miami University of Ohio student Caden Cass has filed a complaint after claiming he was not allowed to be a residential assistant because he's transgender. Cass, who was born female but identifies as male, said the university offered him the same position at an all-female dorm instead. Although the school offers gender-neutral housing, Cass said he wants to live with his peers.
In Georgia, high school student government president Ruben Lack is suing his school after he was fired for trying to make his prom more LGBT inclusive. Lack pitched an idea to the Alpharetta High School Student Council that would change the titles of prom king and queen to prom court to honor same-sex couples. Lack was eventually removed for pushing personal projects. He's now suing the school district, the principal, and two faculty advisors for punitive damages and reinstatement.
In world news, an investigation has revealed that the Dutch Roman Catholic Church surgically castrated at least 10 teen boys and young men to get rid of homosexuality. The surgical removal of testicles was to serve a twofold purpose, as treatment for homosexuality and as punishment for those who accuse clergy of sexual abuse. Members of the Dutch parliament are calling for a governmental investigation.
In Dubai, the chief of the country's police force has denied reports that 30 gay men were arrested at a party. The group Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transsexual Rights, UAE, claims to have firsthand witness accounts of the arrests.
Two California men, John Robert Hart and Dennis J. Meyer, who were on a gay cruise, were arrested March 21st in the Caribbean country of Dominica. The men pled guilty and paid a fine of almost $900. Atlantis Events, which operated the cruise, said that the men were arrested for having sex in public, not because of their sexual orientation.
In Croatia, church authorities in the city of Dubrovnik have banned a Serbian comedy about Balkan War veterans in a gay parade. The Parade, a box office hit across former Yugoslavia, tells the story of a retired Serbian soldier who recruits former enemies from Croatia, Kosovo, and Bosnia to protect a gay pride parade in Belgrade.
In entertainment news, after just 5 months, Oprah Winfrey's network OWN has canceled Rosie O'Donnell's talk show. The show's final episode will air March 30th. When OWN acquired the Rosie Show last year, it was produced inside Winfrey's Harpo Studios in Chicago, with Winfrey and O'Donnell present for the unveiling. However, ratings steadily declined after the show's October 2011 premiere drew fewer than 500,000 viewers, dropping to about 200,000.
Cyndi Lauper is teaming with Harvey Fierstein and director-choreographer Jerry Mitchell for a musical stage adaptation of the 2005 movie comedy Kinky Boots. The musical will involve a pairing of Lauper's music and lyrics with a book by Fierstein. The musical will open at Chicago's Bank of America Theater in October and may transfer to Broadway.
Out comedian and actress Wanda Sykes will star in the new sports comedy The Hot Flashes, about a middle-aged basketball team in Texas who agrees to play a game against the current high school state champs to raise money for breast cancer prevention. Others in the movie include Brooke Shields, Daryl Hannah, and Cameron Mannheim.
Heavy metal singer Lita Ford, formerly of The Runaways, will release her new album, Living Like a Runaway, June 19th. The album will be available as a double LP, a limited edition CD, a standard CD, and a digital download.
Madonna has vowed to defy a new anti-gay law when she performs in St. Petersburg, Russia, August 9th, saying, "I will come to St. Petersburg to speak up for the gay community and to give strength and inspiration to anyone who is or feels oppressed." The law, signed March 7th by the governor of St. Petersburg, banned LGBT-related propaganda that could give minors the false perception that traditional and non-traditional relationships are socially equal.
NBC has renewed the musical drama Smash for a second season, starring Angelica Houston, Deborah Messing, and Megan Hilty. It's the network's highest-rated drama in adults ages 18 through 49 and total viewers.
The current season of the reality show Survivor has lost its villain. Gay college student Colton Cumby, who had manipulated several of his teammates, had a medical emergency in the March 21st episode of the series and had to exit the show.
Country music singer Shelley Wright has said that only three of her fellow acts supported her publicly when she came out of the closet. "The only ones who supported me publicly are Mary Chapin Carpenter, Leanne Rimes, and She Daisy," she said. She added that singers such as Naomi Judd, Trisha Yearwood, and Faith Hill reached out to her privately but may have been fearful of supporting Wright publicly.
In the world of comics, one of the X-Men will marry his boyfriend. The character Northstar will wed boyfriend Kyle in an issue of Astonishing X-Men that will hit stores in June. Northstar first came out in a 1992 issue.
In the upcoming movie Fading Gigolo, Modern Family's Sofia Vergara and actor Sharon Stone will be in a menage a trois with John Turturro. The story focuses on Turturro's character, who goes into the gigolo business with his best friend, played by Woody Allen. Stone, age 54, and Vergara, age 39, will play bisexual lovers.
A Los Angeles County coroner's report shows that Whitney Houston died directly from accidental drowning. The coroner said heart disease and cocaine use were also factors in her February 11th death at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. Cocaine was found in her system. Traces of marijuana, Xanax, Flexeril, and Benadryl were also found, but officials said those drugs did not contribute to her death. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Someday I want to see a gay dude comedy, I thought to myself as I sat watching Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum go through their expected paces in 21 Jump Street, a comedic adaptation of a late 80s, early 90s TV series. By that point, I had counted up about 13 of the more than 25 gay sight gags and penis references in the script. Not that the movie is bad, it certainly entertained the 20-something urbanites I saw it with, and it has its share of genuine laughs. It's just that it's interchangeable with dozens of other movies that have come before it. Somehow, straight dude comedies can't seem to exist without lots of gay sight gags, which always make me wonder, would a gay dude comedy with the dudes finding themselves horrified by their peers thinking they're straight reverse the process? And illuminate how prominent and really tired this brand of humor is. And I put humor in quotes. Hill, who wrote the story, and Tatum played two recent graduates of the police academy chosen for their young looks and apparent immaturity to go undercover at a local high school and discover the supplier of a crystal meth-like drug that is killing unsuspecting teens. Basically, the two are an updated version of Laurel and Hardy, with Tatum as the good-looking, idiotic former jock and Hill as the brainiac, shy nerd with the weight problem. It's only been 5 years since the duo were high school seniors, but they discover immediately upon driving into the parking lot that Tatum's superior attitude, his punching at a quote-unquote faggot, and his insistence on driving a gas-guzzling sports car are all now politically incorrect. On the surface, it seems that things have changed, but as the movie progresses, the age-old gay baiting and the dick jokes pile up. And the same questions I always ask myself at these dude comedies came to mind. What is it about straight boys inadvertently simulating anal sex that drives audiences to the point of hysteria anyway? And more important, when queer culture becomes totally integrated into mainstream society, will this kind of stuff become as antiquated and uncomfortable to straight audiences as actors in blackface from classic cinema are? Dude, I hope to live to see it. And what cultural minority gets to get fucked in the ass, humor-wise, next? I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Kaweez!
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 26, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Performer Holly Hughes speaks at Remy Bumpo about art and activism in America on Saturday, March 14th, before the matinee performance of Chesapeake, a one-person comedy about a right-wing senator, the performance artist he demonizes, and a lovable dog named Lucky. Get tickets for this thought-provoking matinee event at remybumpo.org.
Main Stage presents Judyette Carnegie, a song-for-song recreation of Judy Garland's classic 1961 concert. The concert will be performed by Chicago's top cabaret vocalists. Don't miss Judyette Carnegie, April 20th and 21st. Visit mainstage.com for tickets.
The Auditorium Theater presents Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, the most celebrated modern dance company in the world, April 11th through the 15th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com.
Broadway legends Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne are brought to life on stage in Northlight Theater's Ten Chimneys. This revealing new take on America's greatest acting duo and their renowned Wisconsin retreat is marvelously wry and witty, says KBAQ Phoenix, and sparkling, says Milwaukee Journal. Tickets at northlight.org.
Victory Gardens Theater presents We Are Proud to Present a Presentation, a brave, funny new play about a group of actors who lose control of their play, direct from the festival that brought you Chad Deity. Tickets at victorygardens.org. Get $15 industry tickets for preview performances March 29th through April 8th. Use code INDUSTRY. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Levi Christ, and you are on the Windy City Queercast.
Love the way you look in that dress. You got me thinking thoughts in my head. The way your body's moving slowly to the music only leaves me wanting more. So baby, let's don't call it a night. Love the way you're holding me tight. When you're next to me, there's no place I'd rather be. Everything is feeling so right. So baby, let's don't call it a night.
How are you?
Hey, Jerry. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. I'm excited you're coming to town.
Me too. I love doing skulking.
Yeah. It's closer to me. Other times it's been farther away, so I'm glad.
Skulking moved?
Well, I'm always out of town every time. This is the first show I'm really going to be at, so I'm going to definitely be there for you.
Oh, great. Come up and say hi.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. I want to meet you backstage or something. So, you recently went to Alaska.
I did. Last weekend. It was fantastic. I'm still recovering.
Are you?
Yeah. It was a whirlwind trip, to say the least.
Yeah. It's daylight a lot there, right?
It wasn't at this time.
Okay.
It's just that it was, we were, you know, I was working a lot, and I brought my daughter with me.
Oh, good.
Normally during the day, I'm fairly sedentary when I'm on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I travel, I eat, I do some writing,
sure.
I take a shower, I go to work, I take a nap. but because she was with me, you know, more was expected of me. And we dog sledded and stuff like that. It was cool. We went to the glacier.
Yeah.
I summited a rock.
Oh, wow.
Not that big a rock, honestly, but still.
You did it, though.
I stood on it.
yeah, the dog sled looked crazy. That dog was jumping up in the air. I was like, what is it doing?
Well, that was from last summer.
Oh, okay.
The film I made was from last summer. This time, I didn't film anything because I didn't want my hands out because it was so goddamn cold.
Oh, okay.
And instead, I just enjoyed it, and the people I was with were filming, and I don't yet have that. And when I do, I'll craft something and put it up. But, yeah, last summer, they took me on a dog cart.
Oh.
Because there was no snow, so because it was the summer,
right.
So the dogs they stay in shape by pulling a cart, and but the dog sled is exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
It's quiet, and you know, the dogs are thrilled to be doing it. I mean, they were thrilled to pull the cart too, actually. But the guy would tell me anything below anything above zero, and the dogs are hot.
Oh.
When they would take a break, when we'd stop for a minute, let them take a break, they would shove their heads into the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I sat high atop the sled, bundled up in modern technology warm wear. It was it was pretty great.
Yeah,
and the audiences were great. I had a blast talking to the people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, rugged individualists.
Yeah.
And so I had some rugged individualist conversations.
Yeah, they're a little Republican there, aren't they? I'm trying to think.
What Sarah Palin. Their feeling is, I don't think the people that, you know, I don't really know. You know, I made some jokes about the Republican primary because one can't help oneself.
Sure.
I mean, it's like in Roger Rabbit when they lured him out by doing, you know, knock, 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 knock. You can't throw this Republican field in front of me and not, and have me resist saying stuff about it because it's just too damn funny.
Right.
It really has been a boon.
Yeah, definitely. Writes itself, I'm sure.
It kind kind of does, yeah. I mean, you know, Santorum. My heavens.
I know. I just went to Oklahoma last week, and everyone was, like, surprised Obama was going to visit them, because they're like, he's not going to change anything. I'm like, well, at least he's making an appearance for you, you know, and they blame him for gas prices. I was like, the gas prices were a problem before he got here, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think the president sets the gas prices, by the way. I think there's a lot. I know that I'm angry with Obama because my son's been acting out. I think we do a lot of, you know, for all that ails us, it's the goddamn president. I'm not sure it's quite as simple as that. I did a tweet the other day. I said it's really interesting how during the campaign the presidential powers grow, and during the presidency they seem to shrink. Because in fairness to the American public, to some degree we're set up for those expectations by the candidates. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they come in and tell everything they're going to do, and you know what? It's not a monarchy. They can't do everything that they say they're going to do. It's not possible without the, you know, without the support of the Congress and the courts, for that matter.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's and they never say that during the campaign. They don't go, well, if I can get the Congress to go along with me, you know, if it doesn't get struck down by the Supreme Court,
right? Yeah, why not throw them under the bus? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they always act like they're just going to step in and. What did Newt Gingrich say the other day? He said, "On the day I'm elected, you know." No, on the day I take office. Excuse me. He was going to do something. It was something about Israel. Which, by the way, struck me as odd for your first day in office. I was thinking, put up your pictures and your little tchotchkes on your desk.
Yeah.
I can't do shit the day I move in.
Right. You gotta get settled.
Yeah, he's gonna put up his Callista picture.
I like reading your Twittering. That must be fun.
It is fun, actually. You know what? It's stupid, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I actually just heard a guy was listening to this terrific interview with this man on KPCC here locally, and he has put up a thing, what was it called? Escape and Control. He has a web broadcast with that title. It's a series about how people use the internet. Mm-hmm. And, I just lost my... He was saying that, you know, how mean and nasty people are, you know, on the internet, and how it's kind of made psychopaths out of a lot of people. But he said that he thought that Twitter, they had become much nicer on Twitter, he said, and that Twitter was the white magic that was, right. Whereas the rest of it was the black magic.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure that that's entirely true.
No.
A friend of mine today actually put up on Facebook, she said that people have been, hackers have gotten into people's Facebook accounts, and they are putting up mean things as if it's from a friend.
Oh.
On Facebook, and she said, the thing is, you don't know they've done it. It's not on your wall, it's on your friend's wall.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh
and so, you know, and so she said, you know, so if anybody gets it, it sounds like I'm insulting you. She said, you know, be assured it's not from me. And so I wrote back to her, you suck.
Well, that kind of covers all your bases, right? I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, right, yeah. Didn't come from me, Kath.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I don't know what happened. Someone hacked into it. That's like,
yeah,
you know, all the hacking.
We're victims again.
Yeah, Lisa Lampanelli told me if she could get, like, 2 jokes a day on Twitter, she's happy.
I'm about the same. It's interesting because for my act, I never really pushed myself that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I never wrote 2 jokes a day for my act. Mm-hmm. I also do it differently on stage. I just gotta pay attention just in general on my arrival where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And I often, I don't know if you call it jokes, but I, you know, a lot of stuff that I end up doing, I really just sort of developed by by talking on stage.
Sure.
And so it wasn't really, I certainly never sat down with a piece of paper and said, now I'm writing jokes. Whereas on Twitter, I do actually sit in front of the screen and say, well, what can I, you know. If I think of something there during the day, obviously I throw it up right away. But I do in the morning sit down and go, well, what can I come up with today? Which I've never done for my act, ever. So it's a bit of a demanding taskmaster.
Sure.
I like to let people know where I'm going to be, although I never thought of that when I first started using it. But clearly, once you get a lot of followers, it makes sense to say, oh, you know what, I'm going to be at the blah, blah, blah. And I hate to do that without giving them some more enjoyable content.
Right. Gotcha. I got that. How do you keep your act fresh? I mean, you've been doing stand-up for so long. How do you keep it going? It's going to be tough. And being away from your kids, too.
Say that again?
And being away from your kids sometimes, too, you know.
That's fresh sometimes. you know, when I first started out, about a year after I'd been doing stand-up, I took a Greyhound bus around the country to see what clubs were like in different cities, and I ended up in San Francisco. And I was lucky enough to I used to work at this great place called The Other Cafe, and it had it was a fantastic venue. It was very small. It was a cafe. They sold espressos and burritos and croissants and the like. And I was desperate for money, so I got a job working behind the counter there. But I felt that it would be bad for me to be thought of. I didn't want to be like introduced onto stage and come out, you know, wiping my hands on my apron to go. So I said, okay, I will never work at night. At night I'm a stand-up comic, you know. But if, you know, during the day I could use a job behind the counter. So therefore, I would be the hottest night of the week there was open mic night, really. Which was Wednesday night, and it's fantastically fun. But I would come in after, you know, the morning after a show, and work with the, you know, waitresses in the back, and I'd hear everybody bitching about the comics from the night before. You know, who they liked, who they didn't like. And the number one complaint was that there were people who always did the same thing. And they just got bored of listening to them, particularly if somebody was there. Wednesday was open mic night, but then Thursday, Friday, Saturday were, like they would have a headliner, you know, opening act, middle act, headliner. And so these poor waitresses labored through a week of three acts doing the exact same thing night after night, and they just hated it. And therefore, I became very sensitive to the waitress's opinion. And I was really careful, quite deliberate about, you know, mixing it up, changing it around, not doing the same thing night after night. And I guess I still am. So if you were to come, say, for example, there's nights like in Anchorage, Alaska, where I did two shows. There would be some stuff that I repeated, definitely, from one show to the other. But my, you know, first of all, probably a fifth to a third on any given night is improvised. Always sounds like too highfalutin a word, but unplanned.
Okay.
So in that way, it already kind of regenerates itself. And then also, I just plain deliberately go, well, I'm not going to do, you know, I'm not going to do exactly what I did the last time. Because, I don't know, because I just sort of grew up doing it that way.
Sure, yeah. Well, Lily Tomlin just performed in Skokie at the same place, and she took questions from the audience. Are you doing something like that?
I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living? I love talking to the audience. It's my favorite part of the night. I just sort of randomly, you know, ask people questions, and in this way, little biographies kind of develop, and it tells me how to set my sails, you know, for the night, you know. you know, I'll talk to this person, and because of what they said, I now talk about this topic, or because of where our conversation went, I talk about this. I talk about you know, this or that. And I talk to somebody else, and I kind of, you know, it's like being a pinball, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of let, you know, to some degree, the conversation with the crowd sort of dictate where I go next. Mm. Seems to work pretty good.
Nice. Okay. Have you played Provincetown before?
I have. And I love it.
Uh-huh. I thought you would have a big, huge crowd for that.
I've been doing it for the last, I don't know, several years anyways. I do, you know, I do a night or two a year and in the summer. And it's such a great place anyways. I mean,
yeah.
It's a carnival.
It is.
You know, there's the sort of natural beauty of the place, and then there's the wacky beauty of the place.
Uh-huh.
I like both.
Yeah, I do too. Would you ever do a reality show? Like Celebrity Apprentice or...
one of those. Oh, yeah, I would. Yeah, I would.
I can see you on that in a heartbeat. I don't know.
I wanted to do Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
They didn't want me.
Oh.
But I really pursued it to some degree. Somebody even started a Facebook page with people trying to get me on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
It was sort of a funny running joke among my Twitter followers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, somebody wrote me. They said, "Paul, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but the list has come out for the season,
mm-hmm.
and Nancy Grace is on it." And I just went, "Okay, you know what? It's one thing to turn me down.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing entirely to hire, to have Nancy Grace's face on television, even for one more millisecond, is contributing to the destruction of the world." And so now I feel that they are immoral. now they're tainted. Now I wouldn't do it. Well, come to think of it, if they asked me, I suppose I would. But I would no longer doggedly pursue trying to get them to. I just thought it would be. My kids and I were talking about it just last night, actually.
Oh, really?
You know, because they, at the time when I used to say I wanted to do it, my children don't watch television, so they had a vague idea of what it was. I mean,
sure.
It didn't take a lot to figure it out, but but they were horrified by the notion that I would do that, actually, because they felt that it would be embarrassing, as if there's anything else I could do to embarrass our family. But they were just like, "No, don't do that." And I said, "You know, it would just be funny, that's all. I mean, it would be funny and fun, and besides which, you know, I'd have every good reason to drop a pound or two, and that part I really love."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking of it more for the weight loss.
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, Sherry Shepherd's on there now. I'm all excited.
Who's
about
that?
Sherry Shepherd from The View.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you don't watch TV a lot, huh?
I can't watch The View. It's just horrible. I mean, it's really horrible. It's if that's The View, then give me the room with no windows.
Well, everyone, don't miss Paula Poundstone. She's returning to the North Shore Center for another unforgettable performance. She will be performing one night only, Friday, March 30th, at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts in Skokie. It's so easy to get there, free parking. For tickets, go to northshorecenter.org. We'll have that in our show notes, northshorecenter.org. Do not miss Paula Poundstone. Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you're having a fantastic spring. I can't wait to be back with you. We're trying to pull in some of our other co-hosts that haven't talked to you in a while. It was great to get Deb Pierce back on the podcast. We're going to try to check in with Mitchell Fain, who's been, you know, hither and yon in the gorgeous tropical worlds himself, and also try to get Stephen and Coleman back on the show. So hope you all are enjoying a little bit of a cool down. It's appropriate if you're in Chicago, and if you're not in Chicago, it's probably still hot, hot, hot for those of you south of Illinois. But much love to everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.